Actually, this first part is fairly easy. We're holding a little past the middle of Tzadik Vav Amud Beis. The line begins Vashmeinim.
After Mishnah, right?
It's about a little more than halfway down the Amud. Yeah. We learned yesterday that our Mishnah had talked about various cases where you have a katan's wife and his tzara, or just his wife, or just his yivama, or whatever. And we had the different permutations. Of when we say they can do yibum and when we say they have to do chalitza. So yesterday the Gemara discussed that there was a machlokas between Rab on the one hand and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan on the other. About a particular detail of that, about whether the bia of the 9-year-old is considered like maimer begadol for all purposes, or do we make an exception in order to allow the tzara to do you?
Middle of the page.
So the Gemara says, "Other Rabbi Lazar, Amar the Shmaita be Medrasha." So Rabbi Lazar went and told over this teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, this explanation of how our Mishnah fits with a similar Mishnah back in the 4th Perek that discussed these things and then said a slightly different din. So Rabbi Lazar told it over in the Mishmedrash, but he did not say it in Rabbi Yochanan's name. Shomer Rabbi Yochanan ichpad, so Rabbi Yochanan heard and he was upset. The Gemara is going to say later on why Dapka he was upset. Now there is the idea that he's supposed to call him a dove of Hashem, maybe go to loyal him, as it says in Pirkei Avos. But here Marsha explains that evidently it was more than that. It was not just because otherwise other people would have been upset at Rabbi Lazar also. In fact, only Rabbi Yochanan is upset, and like it was a personal matter to him. The Gemara is going to say later there was a particular thing that he himself had about it. But first, so Ula Gabe Rab Ami Rab Asi. So Rab Ami and Rab Asi, two of Rab Yechanan's big Talmidim, went to see him to try and calm him down, basically, to get him not to be angry. Umrulay, they told him, basically they're going to try to tell him, being angry in the Beis Medrash can have serious consequences. Loikach Hoya Maisa Beis Knesset Shel Tveria. Didn't the story happen in the Shul of Tveria? There was a machlokas there about a bolt, like you use to close a door, that has a knob at one end.
Was it like a cookie?
What?
Yeah,
gluska is a cookie. Glustera means a knob. So therefore, if it has a knob at one end, if it was just a plain bolt, like a plain piece of wood or metal or whatever, then it can't really be considered a keli. Then there can be an issue, are you allowed to lock a door with it on Shabbos, or would it be considered boynet? But if it has a knob at one end, there's an argument that you can make. On the one hand, still, when you use it to close the door, it's like boner. You're sticking it into the ground, into a hole in the ground, or whatever. On the other hand, you could argue, since it has a knob at one end, it's considered a keli.
It's a stick with a knob
at one end.
Put in the ground?
No, you hold on to the knob, and you put the other end, you put the sharp end into the ground.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, Shenechel Kabay Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yaisi. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yaisi argued about... Yeah, because you can use the thick end of it. You could use it, for example, for grinding up garlic, Rashi says, or whatever. So therefore, it learned in Shabbos. So therefore, it can be considered a keli. Actually, it was at the end of Eruvin with the Sogya about it. Yeah. So b'negashiyash b'rishaglus. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yaisi. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yaisi argued on the question: are you allowed to lock a door with it on Shabbos, or would it be a matter of boner? And the discussion got so heated, Atsh Karu Sefer Torah b'chamasan, until they ripped the Sefer Torah in their anger. Well, that's what do you mean? Karu Sakadak? What do you mean they ripped? It's mashma that they did it on purpose. Elayim Shnikra Sefer Torah b'chamasan. It means that it was ripped. In the heat of the argument, the Sefer Torah got ripped. I think the Oroch explained that what it was is each one is holding one end of the Sefer Torah, and like they're pulling back and forth, like let me prove to you from this pasuk, from that pasuk, or whatever, until it accidentally got ripped. V'haya sham Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, and Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma was there in Shul watching this happen. Amar, he said, I will be very surprised if this Shul does not end up becoming a place of Avodah Zarah. And that's exactly what happened. Why? So Marsha says, because we know when a person gets angry, he pushes away the Shekhinah. Well, if you push away the Shekhinah, then that leaves room for Tumah, for the Tumah of Avodah Zarah to come in. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are telling Rabbi Yochanan, don't get upset, don't get angry at Rabbi Yochanan, because you can see the consequences that can happen from getting angry over a matter of halacha. However, that made things even worse. Hader ikpad tfei. Rabbi Yochanan now was even more upset. Amachavrusa Nami. What are you treating him like he's my chaver? Mela over there of Lazar and Rabbi Yosi are chaverim. Yes, chaverim shouldn't get so angry at each other in the Beis Medrash. They have to treat each other with derech eretz. But a Talmud is supposed to have derech eretz for his Rebbe. Moira Rabbah Kamura Shamayim. Yes, if he does something wrong, I'm entitled to be upset at him. Kamura Shamayim, it says in Pirkei Avos, yeah. Also, some Mepharshim explain, one of the Mepharshim on Yaakov says that also Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, you guys, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, effectively are treating them like a chaver, like you have to give musa to me. We know that's not how you give musa to a Rebbe. You tell him, you don't tell him flat out you're doing something wrong. You tell him, doesn't it say in Torah such and such, and leave it for him to draw his own conclusions. Anyway. Ulegabe Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. So Rabbi Yaakov Baridi now came to see Rabbi Yochanan to say his own piece. Amalei, he says to him, look at it like this. The pasuk says, "Kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe avdoi." Whatever Hashem commanded Moshe, "Kain tziva Moshe es Yeshua." That's all what Moshe told over to Yeshua. Moshe kibul teru misinu masarli Yeshua. V'chein after Yeshua, and so Yeshua did. Lo heisu dava mikol shetziva Hashem es Moshe. He did not take away. He didn't leave out anything that the Eibushter told Moshe. Now, what do you think that means? So it means, in other words, so Moshe taught the whole Torah to Yeshua, and Yeshua taught the whole thing to the Jewish people. Masarli kainim. So what do you think? You think every single thing Yeshua said, he always said this and this, I learned from Moshe? Of course not. Ela Yeshua Yoshua Dodesh, Yeshua could just darshan something from Torah, Sam, without saying who it's from. Everybody knows it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. After Belaza Talmidcha, Yoshua Dodesh, Sam. So the same thing when it comes to Belaza, your Talmud. Yes, he's sitting and darshaning Sam. Everybody knows it comes from you because you are his main Rebbe. Now, it's true. Marsha points out it's not exactly the same thing. Yeshua only learned from Moshe. Rabbi Elazar did learn from other teachers as well. But the difference is, when Rabbi Elazar is saying something in the name of one of those other teachers, he does quote his source. He does say, I learned from Rab or Shmuel or whoever. So if he says, without specifying, then everybody assumes it means it's from Rabbi Yochanan. So that calmed him down. That made him feel better. Amalahem, so he turns to his other Talmudim, how come you guys don't know how to calm somebody down as well as our friend Ben Idi? Yeah. So the question is, Rabbi Yochanan, in my time, a culprit Kulahai. Why Takar was Rabbi Yochanan so upset? So Rabbi Elazar is saying it over without saying his name. Big deal. The answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, my dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in the pasuk, Agur of Ocha Elamim, it's in Tillim, it says, I will live in your tent. For Elamim, little simple meaning of Elamim means forever. But Elamim literally means two worlds. So what does that mean? Can a person be living in two worlds at the same time? You're either in Elam Hazer or you're in Elam Haba. You can't be in both. Ella, Amad David, Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Sheyomru Dvar Shmu Mipi Ma'olam Hazer. It should be your will that they should say over words of Torah in my name in this world. And how will that help me? Because even when I'm in Olam Haba, the Amar of Yechanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yechai, Kol Tamid Chacham Shaimim Dvar Shmu Mipi Ba'olam Hazeh, any Tamid Chacham that they say over Shmugo in his name in this world, Sifsos of Dovres Bakeper, so his lips move in the grave. Which means, so Tosfos points out, in other words, his Neshama is based in Shamayla, is in the Yeshiva Shamayla. His lips in the Kever are moving, so therefore he literally is living in two worlds at the same time. His neshama is in the Yeshiva Shamayla, and his body down here is the size of Nice. So what exactly does it mean? I mean, B'chalal, what are you talking about that his lips are moving? I mean, what lips? The body is already decayed. So in Ein Yaakov, on the Yerusha Mishkalim, where this Gemara is also brought, says, yeah, it doesn't mean literally the lips. It means one aspect of the neshama that stays with the body. But Marsha over here says no. You could say very simply. Yes, the body is yes the body is decayed, but there's something there. I mean, we know eventually there's the etzem luz that the whole body is reconstituted from. So yes, in a certain sense, it has an effect on the body down here in Olam Hazeh as well.
Tzaddik is like the whole.
Yeah. Well, the point is even not necessarily. I mean, yeah. Even if they're not, but yeah. Amr of Yitzchak ben Zeiro v'Temer Shimon Nezira, Maikra, where do we see a pasuk that expresses this? The pasuk says, V'chikech k'yayin hatov, your palate, meaning what you speak, is like good wine, holech l'dodi l'meisharim, which goes to my beloved in a straight way, doviv sifsi yishenim, that makes move the lips of those who are asleep. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is something like it's talking about really good wine, like even when a person is asleep, The taste of it like makes it like wakes them up. It tastes so good. But the drasha is kikomer shlanovim, that the when you say over Torah in the name of somebody who passed away already, it's like a pile of grapes when you pile them together in order that later on you're going to press them to make wine. Just like this pile of grapes, this cluster of grapes, if you even touch it with your finger, then immediately wine starts, grape juice starts bubbling out, because it's already heated up, and it's already, like, it's about ready to be pressed. You say it from their name in Olam Hazeh, so it's the same Dovah Smakever. It makes their lips move in the grave, and they have Hana from it. And the Yerushalmi adds also that gives two different mishalim what it's like based on this pasuk. One is that it's like kunditon, which is where they mix wine together with honey and pepper, and then make a hot drink out of it. We tried some when I was in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago. It was good stuff. Kunditin, it's called. So one opinion is that it's like kunditin, and the other is like it's supposed to drink old wine. We made it ourselves. I'll tell you about it afterwards. But yeah.
Where did we learn that?
Kunditin, we had it before. We had it before. Yeah. So why the two different explanations? One of kundita and one of yain yashin. There's various explanations. One of them is that one refers to nigla and the other refers to teres hakabala, teres anister, and various other explanations. One yeah, because that never points out in the letter actually that dvash is always related to nister, so therefore kundita could relate to that, or it refers to Torah only versus Torah ma'asim tovim. Anyway, one of the Mephoshim says, so that still doesn't answer that. Okay, so we understand then why Rabbi Yochanan wants that the thing should be said over in his name. Why is Rabbi Yochanan more machbid on that than anybody else?
Why did Talmud actually do the same thing?
Ah, so why Taka didn't? He said, because Rabbi Yaakov Edi said, because he figured everybody knows it comes from Rabbi Yochanan. Besides which also, actually, it's brought in a number of places in the Chassidus. The fact of the matter is, even though we know, the fact of the matter is, most of the time, we don't see the Tanoim or the Amoraim quoting things in the name of their Rebbein. We don't usually see, for example, when it says Rabbi Akiva Omer in a Mishnah, or Rabbi Yehuda Omer, they obviously learned it from their Rebbe, but we don't usually find that they actually say their Rebbe's name, because once the person got into it and then made it part of his own seichel, then in a way he has a right to say it in his own name as well. Because it became part of him. It's like it became part of his own Torah. But here, Rabbi Yochanan felt that not. So one of the Mephoshim says the vart is because we learned way back in Brachas, we learned that Rabbi Yochanan lost all his children. He had 10 children and all of them died during his lifetime. So he felt more than anybody else, I need somebody to be mamshich in my ways and to quote my name, that I should be remembered after I pass away. And therefore he was machbid on it more than most people. Dane Damadasirabir says he used to carry around a bone or a tooth or whatever from the youngest one to be Menachem Avil people to tell them, you know, like I feel for you. I know what you're going through. And the Mishnah said Echad ben Teshron in Bechula, that the same rules apply to as far as the beer, whether the boy is between nine and 13, or whether even he's 20 and doesn't have shtei sides. Or a minute, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Ben Esrim Shana Shalahevi Shtei Cyrus, a 20-year-old who doesn't yet have Shtei Cyrus, Yavir Rayesh from an Esrim, they have to bring proof that he's 20 years old, bring his birth certificate or whatever, Vahu Asaris, and then that's the definition of Asaris, Loi Chalitz Loi Miyamim, that he can't do Chalitz or Yibum. Our Mishnah seems to be saying that he can do Yibum. We're saying that a 9-year-old Yibum has a certain effect, and this 20-year-old who doesn't have Shtei Cyrus also has a certain effect, but we learned before that Asaris can't do Yibum. We had a machlokes tanoim about it, actually, whether it's just chama can do yibum or not. But the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, who says that he can't. And evidently, we assume that our Mishnah is going to that.
He should be better than a cotton.
Yeah. No, he should. No, he's the same. No, a sardis is worse off than a cotton, because the difference is a cotton eventually is going to become a gadol. Eventually, he's going to be fertile. A sardis is never fertile. So therefore, you can't say lo yumacha shmai miyisro, because shmai machu, because the name is already erased. He's never going to have children.
We saw that the cotton is like half an incomplete primer.
Yeah, we could be said it's Mimer, but we're saying a Swiss is even more than that. A Swiss does Yibum, it's not even considered Mimer. Yeah.
I think probably almost he's 13 or he's a Gadol.
No, but he has to have Shtei Cyrus. And similarly, Bas Esrim Shana Shalavi Shtei Cyrus, a 20-year-old girl who doesn't yet have Shtei Cyrus, Yavir Rayashi Bas Esrim, you have to bring proof that she's 20, Vihi Hylonis, and then that's the definition of Hylonis, Lechalatis Lemus Yabemus. So anyway, the point is, what is our Mishnah saying that a 20-year-old who doesn't have Shtei Cyrus, if he does Yibum, it's still considered something? We see from that Dreisa that he's a Swiss, and we know a Swiss can't do Yibum at all. The answer is Harit Mar Allah. That's not what the Braisa means. You should know that they said on that, that the Amoraim said, Amar Shmuel B'Yitzchak Amar Rav, but who should know the Lo Siman Esrit? We don't mean that if he's 20 and doesn't have Shtei Tzaros, automatically he's a Esrit. He has to also have the simonim of a Swiss that we learned a few weeks ago, that his skin doesn't steam when he bathes in cold weather, and his Meir Aglayim don't make an arc, and his voice is childish and so forth. Yeah. Amar Rava Dekanami. In fact, you can see that from the words of the Mishnah. We thought the words v'hu asris meant that the definition. If he's 20 and doesn't have Shtei Tzaros, automatically that's a Swiss. No, what the Braisa means is if he's 20 and doesn't have Shtei Tzaros, as well as v'hu asris, and he has simonim that show that he's a Swiss, then he's a Swiss. But before that, not. So that proves it. So therefore, it's three possible cases, in other words. So you have a normal person who, when he's 13 or thereabouts, gets Shtei Tzaros and the gadol. You have a person who, by age 20, does not have Shtei Tzaros and has developed Simon Esrus, and then you know he's a Esrus. And then you have a case where a person has not developed Shtei Tzaros by 20, but he also hasn't developed Simon Esrus. Our Mishnah is saying that he's still considered a cotton then.
And the other Mishnah is
saying? The Braisa that says, it's talking about where he has Simon Esrus. So the question is, V'chila no dolo Simon Esrus ad tama, nu if he never gets Simon Esrus, up to what point do you consider him a cotton? Until he's lived through most of his life. You may understand Bahem Shivim Shana, the average person lives to 70. So therefore, when he turns 35, and it's 35, the Rambam says 35, Rashbam on the Gemara and Baba Basra says 36. 35 in a day, the Rambam says, between 35 4 years. The Rashbam writes 36. So up till then, he's considered a cotton. So Yomar tells, Ki also lekamei de Rava, when people would bring a potential Swiss to Rava, is he a Swiss or not? Ikochush, if the person was skinny, Amalahu Zilu Avriyuhu, then he would tell them, go fatten him up. And the Ibari, and if he was fat, Amalahu Zilu Akhushuhu, make him lose weight. Tahani Simonim, because not necessarily is that he's never gotten Simonim, that he's never gotten Shtei Tzaros yet. These Simonim, Zimin Zinatri Machnas Krishusa, sometimes they fall off sometimes they grow in, but then they fall off because the person is too skinny. The Zimin Zinatri Machnas Krishusa, sometimes they fall off because he's too fat. So whatever it is, fix up his body chemistry, try the other extreme, and see if it still persists that he's not having Shtei Tzaros. And then you'll know that he's a Swiss or a cut until 35, as the case may be.
Shtei Tzaros is only the pubic hair, or
Maybe
also the
axillary? No, that's pubic left there.
Pubic does.
Yeah. Hadron aloha ish rabba. By the way, we call this parak ish rabba because there were two other parakim later on, and there's at the end of the Masechta that also begin with the word Harisha. So this is Aisha Rav, this is a big parak Aisha, and then we have a few more later. But also because it was long. Yeah. Longer than the other one, yeah.
The one coming is a hard one?
Well, this one that's coming up now is a little bit hard, we'll see. After that, yeah, we're going to be going back and forth between easy and hard ones for a bit. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Noisin al-Hanusa v'ala mafuta. A man is allowed to marry the relatives of a woman that he was ma'anis or mafata. So a man goes and is ma'anis a woman. We don't say that it's considered as if he's married to her, therefore he'd be also to marry her daughter or her sister or mother or what have you, as it would if they were really married. No, he's allowed to. And ha'onis v'amafata alanasura chayev. An onis or mafata is chayev if he marries her afterwards, then he's chayav, then he's also to marry her relatives. Yeah. Another din, noisa adam anusas aviv mufutas aviv. A man is allowed to marry his father's anusa or his father's mufuta. So if his father was ma'anis or mafata, a woman, the son is allowed to marry her. Or anusas b'noi mufutas b'noi, or the other way around. If his son was ma'anis or mafata, a woman, the father is allowed to marry her. Rabbi Yehuda oisa ba'anusas aviv mufutas aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree if it was your son's anusa or mufuta, but not if it was your father's. So the Gemara starts off, Taneinu l'hadat Tana Rabbanan, this that we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, that noisin ala anusa v'al mafuta, that just because you were ma'anis, a woman, you doesn't mean you're also to marry her relatives. Taneinu l'hadat Tana Rabbanan, thus we learn in the Mishnah what it says more explicitly in a Braisa. Onas isha mutal lusabita, that if a man was ma'anis a woman, he's allowed to marry her daughter. Obviously, it would have to be a daughter from somebody else. If it was a daughter from that very onus, then of course she's a daughter anyway. We're not talking about that. Nasa isha asa lusabita. On the other hand, if somebody, you have a Gemara over there. Oh, okay. At the beginning of the parak, beginning of the Gemara. Nasa isha, but if a man marries a woman, asa lusabita, then he's not allowed to marry her daughter. That's because since we're mentioning one, then we're mentioning the other. The Gemara asks the Raminu, I have a contradiction. And Braisa says, Hanitan mina isha, if somebody is suspected of being mezana with a woman, also be imo vito of achoisa. He is also to marry her mother or daughter or her sister. So how is our Mishnah saying noisin al anusa? That is midrabanan. That isa is only midrabanan. Midaraisa, you'd be allowed to. Midrabanan, we're concerned about the issue that what happens, for example, you were mafata this woman, so you had a relationship with her outside of marriage. Now you go and marry her daughter, let's say. Well, mothers and daughters are constantly visiting each other. So therefore, the mother is going to be aware. The mother you were mezana with before, yeah, we learned this way back much earlier in the Masechta, is going to be likely around in your house sometimes, and you may end up being mezana with her again, and then it would be actually an issur daraisa because you already married to her daughter. Question is, so what are you talking about? Our Mishnah says noisin. The word noisin is mashma, but lachatchila, you're allowed to. If it meant b'diyevid, then it would say, misha nosa, san nosa, whatever, you know, noisin is mashma, you're allowed to lachatchila. If it's also midrabanan, how can you say lachatchila? The answer is kitnan mafnisin lachamisa. You're right, but our Mishnah is talking about the case where the original woman that you were ma'anis, your mafata, died already. So then there's no reason for the Gzeder, the Rabbanan. What's the whole point? You were Ma'anis, the mother, now you're going to marry the daughter, and then the mother might be around, and you're going to end up being around your house. Well, if the daughter is dead already, if the one you married is dead already, then fine, there's not an issue, even with Rabbanan, there's no chashash. Menonim, at least. So how do we know all this? How do we know that just because you had a relationship with a woman doesn't automatically make her daughter or her mother also to you? By many of the arayas, when it lists the arayas in Parshas Achrimos, and again in Parshas Kedoshim with the punishment, most of them it uses the word shchiva, v'isha sheyishkav es whoever. But when it comes to the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a woman and her mother, or a woman and her sister, instead it uses the word kicha, which means marrying. Shchiva means lying with them. Kicha means marrying.
Is it
not lost
taking?
But yeah, lost taking, which means kiddushin.
Kinyan.
Meaning loy malach derech lekuchin asa Torah. The Torah only asks, for example, a woman's mother to you if you married the woman herself, if you did kicha, which is kiddushin, not if you did onus or mafata.
And arusa.
Arusa is already kicha. You already did the kicha. Kicha means kiddushin.
Are you making condition? Are you married to a daughter? Or
no, we're talking about if. A guy went and was Ma'anis Dina,
yeah.
And then he goes and marries Dina's daughter, Osnas. We're saying he's allowed to do that. The fact that he had relations with Dina doesn't pass Osnas to him, the daughter. Because when would it be Osir if he had married Dina? Then Osnas would be also to him, or the other way around. If he had married, once he marries Osnas, then Dina is also to him.
But
it has to be derech kicha. It has to be with kiddushin and nisroin. Well, then by that logic, what about when the Torah talks about znus with one sister? What is it also? You're going to say by a sister, it's only also if you do tradition with her and not if you just have a relationship? Obviously not. Amalei, he tells him like this. Lekuchin ksivi b'Torah stam. The Torah says the word lekuchin in a general way. Haroi lekicha kicha, haroi l'shchiva shchiva. In some cases, like for example, the case of Isho Bita, where you could have two possible ways that this daughter is in that this daughter, for example, is in the picture. One where you were shoychev with her mother. One where you were lekeach, where you married her mother. Therefore, the Torah uses the word lekuchin, which you should understand from that. In a case where it's possible either lekuchin or shchiva, it means tafka lekuchin. But Haroy l'shchiva shchiva. But in a case of a sister, obviously l'kuchin are not possible. Kedushin are not toifas with your sister. So necessarily, even though the Torah used the word l'kuchin, you have to understand that it doesn't mean only kedushin, it would only be also derech kedushin. No, there it's also in any way. So there it's only roy l'shchiva. There's no possibility of there being kedushin. Rava Amar. Where it's only possible to talk about Shechiva, where it's not possible to talk about Lakicha, then even though the Torah uses the word Lakicha, okay, it uses the word Lakicha, but you have to understand it to mean Shechiva. That's a possibility, because there's only a possibility of Shechiva. There is no possibility of Lakicha by a sister. Rava Amar. I have a different place that we learn that if you are an honest woman, you're allowed to marry your daughter. The Pasuk says that you're not allowed to have relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. So what would that mean? Which would imply you would be allowed to marry or to have relations with your wife's granddaughter. But then you have another Pasuk later on that says you're not allowed to marry your wife's granddaughter either. So what is it? Okay, so obviously the first pasuk must be talking about where you're ma'anis, the grandmother. Therefore, you're allowed to marry even her daughter, let alone her grandchildren. That's what the pasuk is implying. You can't marry your own grandchildren, but you can marry the grandchildren of a woman that you were with. Mashenka, the second pasuk is talking about if you're married to her, then you're not allowed to marry her grandchildren. Question is, Eipuchana. Okay, but the pasuk doesn't specify which one is oinus and which one is nisuin. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe a woman who were your ma'anis, where you already did one Isser, then the Torah is canceling you and not allowing you to marry her grandchildren either. Whereas if you married her legally, maybe you are allowed to. The answer is Arayas She'erksiv Behu. Because by the Arayas, the Torah introduces the whole concept of Arayas by saying Ish Isha Kol She'er B'Sarai. That person is not allowed to have relations with any of his close relatives. She'er B'Sar. Therefore, b'nisuin ikha She'er. So when you marry a woman, then her relatives are your She'er. They're your family. Like a share, but if it's a matter of oinus, there's no share. There's no close relationship such that we would say that her grandchildren should be asir. Then the Mishnah said Rabbi Yehuda oisav anusas aviv v'chola. That Rabbi Yehuda had said that you're not allowed to marry your father's anusar or mefuta. Amar gidol amar rav. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? We had this all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Dichtiv lo yikach ishes aviv lo yigalek knaf aviv. The pasuk says a man is not allowed to marry his father's wife. And he's not allowed to uncover the corner of the garment of his father. What does that mean? Kanaf shadra aviv lo yigala. Raw kanaf is like a euphemism for having relations. So a kanaf, a woman who his father has had relations with, lo yigala, then you're not allowed to be megala ever. You're not allowed to have relations with them either. How do you know then that it's talking about an anus? Maybe it's only talking about your father's wife who he legally married. The answer is give me a lave the Quran, because right before that the pasuk says for nothing is a sheikh of imalavi anara chamishin kasef. Right before that the Torah talks about the case of oinus, and it says that the ma'anis has to pay the girl's father 50 sloyim, and he has to marry her, and he's never allowed to divorce. So that's the case of oinus. So therefore we make a hekesh over there. We say since the earlier pasuk is talking about oinus, then the later one also, this lo yigala knaf aviv, must also be talking about oinus. Rabbanon, okay, what are the Rabbanon answer to that? They say, yeah, but samach le dekidikamet. If the psukim were back-to-back, then fine, I'd agree with you. Hashtu deloy samach le, but in fact they're not right next to each other, because in between you have the half you have the half pasuk that says, lo yikach ishas ishas aviv. So therefore it's not one directly after the other. You have a half a pasuk in between. You can't compare, you can't make. So we learned back in the first paragraph, we would discuss the whole idea of when we darish and smuchim, and when we don't, we discuss the pros and cons of that, why Rabbi Yochanan would say, not Rabbi Yochanan, why Rabbi Yehuda says that half of the pasuk is there, and why the Chacham disagree with him, etc. Anyway, hash to deloy samach lay, but since they're not next to each other, then instead we understand the pasuk a different way. Rather, we understand this lo yigala knaf aviv the way Rabbi Onan explained it. The pasuk is not talking about a woman who your father was ma'anis. The Torah is talking about a woman who is a shemeres yavam for your father, meaning that you had an uncle Esav who died. He has a wife who your father Yaakov is his brother, who needs to do yivum with her. She's waiting for yivum on your father. You, the son Reuben, are not allowed to have relations with her. Umay knap aviv. So what does the word knap aviv mean then? It means kanaf haroil aviv loyigala. It means the kanaf that it's suitable for your father, the one that your father is supposed to be marrying, he's supposed to be doing yibum with. You should not be megala. So nothing about an oinus. Question.
So one of darshan knap, even though it's not
smuchim. No, so we're saying we're not darshaning as an oinus because we're not darshaning smuchim, but we still have to understand what does loyigala knap aviv mean. That's what it means. Question is a typical labor shul daydase. What do you need that? I mean, she's already also to you because she's your aunt. She's your father's brother's wife, and the Torah says that's an error. Yeah. The answer is labor aleva shnei lavin. You're right. What the Torah is adding by laygal knaf aviv is that if you do have relations with her, you're on two lavin. Number one, she's your aunt by marriage, and number two, she's knaf aviv. And the typical labor shul yivama l'shuk. Fine. You have another reason. She's also anyway. She's a yivama. She's not allowed to marry anybody else other than the yavama until yivama chalitza is done. Okay, the answer is lava or lava shalosh lava. Fine, you could say that the lo yigala knap of it would add that if the person does, that if the son has relations with her, they can be chayav three times malchus. Or you could answer that you could answer at least with this last one of Yavama Lashuk. If the father dies, you only had the two brothers, Esav and Yaakov, to begin with. Suppose that Yaakov dies, then she's mutter Lashuk, because then there's no more zita, there's no brother left to do yibum. So now you're not going to be over mishum Yavama Lashuk. So therefore, the Torah is telling you, you're still over on two other things. You're over because she is Dodase, she is your aunt, and also because of Knaf Oven. Now the Gemara is going to start presenting a number of interesting riddles. A number of interesting riddles that they used to tell in those days about odd family relationships and to understand what they're saying. So what do we have then? Tosfos says, because with Trubas HaTzdukim, there's a Tzdukim, the minimum or whatever, would go bug the Chachamim, do you have an answer to these riddles? And you have to prove that, yes, you know, Torah has everything in it. I actually saw an interesting explanation that part of it is also, what the Gemara is going to be discussing, most of these cases, the Gemara is going to be discussing are various cases of Arayas, various cases where a person is marrying a relative who he's not allowed to. So the vote is, the minim would argue to people, what do you need all the dinim of the Torah for? You know, you have all the different religions that have argued against us, you know, for a long time. What do you need all the details of the Torah? You know, does the Eivishter really care about all those details? Isn't it good enough that you have a good heart, etc.? And you answer them with these mashalim. Look, you know, if you don't have a Torah, if you don't have a system of dinim to follow, you can end up with all these kinds of cases of znus on top of znus and totally mixed up family relationships. So yes, we need a Torah. So the first one, Achme of Valayma Aim. Somebody says, I have a brother from my father, but not from my mother. So we share the same father. But who Baila de Aim? He is the husband of my mother. Ba'ano brate de intese, and I am the daughter of his wife. So how can you have such a scenario? It would work, but Deloitte of Yehuda, Demas Nissim. It would work according to the Chachamim, not according to the Yehuda. Namely, if you have a case over here that Yaakov married Sarah, they have a son Reuben. Afterwards, Yaakov was Ma'anis Rivka. He did not marry her, but they was only an onus. And they had a daughter, Rachel. Reuven, now according to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, Reuven is allowed to marry Rivka because she's Anusas Aviv. So what is Rachel to Reuven? They have the same father. They have the same father, Yaakov. You are married to my mother, Rivka, and I'm your wife, Rivka's daughter, but not from you, but rather from Yaakov. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be impossible, unless it was an Isser, because Reuben is not allowed to marry Rivka, but according to the Tanakhama, it's fine. How about another case? Ochu Uvrihu, this person is my brother, and he's my son. I'm the sister of this little boy who I'm carrying on my shoulder. So how do you have such a scenario? The answer is Mashkachas Laba Obit Kachavim Abab. So you can have a case where Goy was Mizana with his daughter. Now, it could be a Jew also, but we don't want to assume that a Jew would do such a thing. So when the Gemara has to talk about such a thing, it would rather mention a Goy. So if this Goy was Mizana with his daughter and they had a child, then this child is both her daughter and her brother. She's her daughter, but she's also her brother from the father's side. In fact, the Medrash says that Malkus Shiva asked this as one of her riddles to Shlomo HaMelech, and he answered out of his case in history of Lois and his daughters. Lois and his daughters, the children, are their mother's children and also their brothers. Because they have the same father, Lois. If it's a yid, there would be an Issur Karis. There would be an Issur, yeah, actually be an Issur, an Issur Mrs. Safety. Yeah, of course the kid is Mamzer, yeah. Another case, another one of these riddles. Shlomalach Bri, a woman says, Shalom Aleichem to you, my son. Bas Achsichana, I am the daughter of your sister. So how do you have that? Mashkachas Lavoivikacham, Abbas Bitan. A similar case, if you have a guy, has relations with his granddaughter, and they have a child. So again, then you have this grandchild over here is both the daughter of is both the daughter of Hagar over here, as well as also the sister of Adar, because they have the same father. Similar idea. Next, another riddle. Daloi the Dolur Davla, you say that the people would say a riddle. This one is addressed to those who draw water in the field. Daloi, those who draw water, the Dolu Davla, who go and draw water to water the fields, Lipo Bahu Seser Peser, there should be among you, here's a riddle, here's a Seser, a hidden riddle, Peser, that needs to be answered. That needs to be answered. The Haid Darina Hubar, this child who I'm carrying, Hubar, he is my son. Ana bras achva, and I am the daughter of his brother. How do you have that? Mashkachas lava, or we could have ma basnai. Similar idea. If you have a guy with Nizana with his granddaughter, so similar idea then that the child that Hagar can be carrying her little daughter Lois and be saying he's my son, but on the other hand I'm also the daughter of his brother because his brother is Lavan. Similar idea. Why are we addressing this one dafka to the workers in the field? So Tosfos says that actually it doesn't mean the workers in the field. It actually means the chachamim who draw out the deep water of the Torah to figure it out. It's like a really complicated riddle. The Aruch HaNer, on the other hand, says it's actually fairly straightforward. Once we have the previous answer about Bas Bitoi, then this one is fairly straightforward. It's Bas Noi. So we're saying once you have the answer to the previous one, even the simple field workers could figure out the answer to this one. Another riddle. A woman says, "Baya baya me'och, woe, baya is like gevald, like woe me'och about this person who's my brother, v'hu av and he's my father, v'hu baal and he's my husband, v'hu bar baal and he's the son of my husband." Who Baila the aim, and he's the husband of my mother, and I'm the daughter of his wife. So I'm related to him in so many different ways. But he will not give any food to his brothers who are Yisaimim, the daughters of the sons of his daughter. So what kind of complicated scenario are we talking about? How did such a thing happen? The answer is Mashkachas Lava Oivikachav Mabal Pipoi. You can have a case where a guy is Mizana with his mother, Vaholim Men Abbas, they have a daughter, Vachazer Raval Oisabas, then this guy, the original one who was Mizana, also is Mizana with that daughter, Vachazer Zokin Raval Leha, then his father also has relations with her, Vaholim Men Abbanim, and he has children with her. This woman. So in other words, there were three different people. Let me see if I can follow with this. Three different people were Mizana with this woman Hagar. So therefore she can say about him, he's my brother, we're both the children of Ada. He's also my father, because Ada and her son had been Mizana. He's also my husband, not really husband, but whatever, we've had relations. He's the son of my husband. Because she also had relations with this guy's father, we call him Zakin. And he's my mother's husband in the same way, because they had relations also. And I'm the daughter of his wife, Ada. And now he doesn't. Now I have a son, Lloyd. And he doesn't have a son. I have a son of Lloyd. I have two children, Lloyd and Lavan. And he doesn't want to give them any food, even though they're related in so many ways. Actually, in the family tree of Esav at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, the Medrash mentions over there that you have a couple of examples, not quite as sophisticated, as elaborate as this, but still you have, for example, that the Rashi mentions over there that Timnah was a mamzeres, that Eliphaz had been mezana with Seir's wife, and then later on Eliphaz himself took Timnah as a pilegish. So there you have at least part of the scenario you have over there. Another one, Anov at Achi, you and I and you are brothers. Anov Avuch Achi, I and your father are also brothers. Anov Imcha Achi, and I and your mother are brothers. What's that scenario? Mashkachas Lava Oyvikachav Mabal Imay. You can have a goy with Mizana with his mother. V'hoidim Menas Shtei Bonas. They had two daughters. V'chazo Aval Achasnan. Then this goy, the original one who was Mizana, is Mizana with one of them, just like we said with Eliphaz and with Eliphaz and Timna. And then they have a son. And then she can be called the sister of his mother. So then she can be saying like this. Anova at bnei ochiana. You and I are the sons of two brothers. Anova avuch bnei not of two brothers. Anova at bnei ochiana. You and I are the children of my brother. Anova avuch bnei achi, I and your father are the sons of my brother. Anova imcha bnei achi. Oh no, sorry, that's another case. Become really achi, and then therefore she can say that. Sorry, the anova at bnei is another case. So you have some similar idea over here. You had that this guy had been mezana with his mother and had two daughters. So Hagar is able to say to her nephew Lloyd that we have the same father. Your father is also my brother, because we're both children of Ada, and I and your mother Tzila are also brothers, because we're born from the same father and mother, or the same our siblings rather, sisters. And the last case, somebody can say, Anova at bnei achi. You and I are both the sons of a brother. Anova avuch bnei achi. You, I, and your father are the sons of a brother. Anova imcha bnei achi, and I and your mother are the sons of a brother. So here we don't need isurim. Haba hetera nami mashkachas. This you can find in a way of heter. When Reuven sheyesh le shtei bonos, if Reuven has two daughters, but also here, so here we can talk about Jews again, because it's a matter of heter. So Reuven has two daughters, but also Shimon v'nosaf chad minayu. Shimon marries one of the daughters.
Uncle.
So he's your uncle. He's allowed to. But also bar Levi v'nosaf chad minayu. Then Levi's son goes and marries the other daughter. So here's the family tree for it. So we have that. So we have Reuven had these two daughters, Rachel and Leah. Shimon marries one of them. Another brother, Levi, has another brother of theirs, Levi, has a son, Yaakov, who in turn has a son, Avraham. Yaakov is married to Rachel, and they have a son, Avraham. So what do we have then? Yitzchak is able to say to his cousin Avraham that you and I are both born from, but you and I are cousins, because we have two, our mothers are sisters. Also, I and your father are cousins, because we both have, we are brothers, Levi and Shimon. Our fathers are brothers. And I and your mother, Rachel, are also cousins, because one is Reuben's daughter, and one is Reuben's daughter, and one is Shimon's son. Yep. So the Kamalei Brei the Shimon, Labai Brei the Levi. So Shimon's son Yitzchak in this scenario is able to say this to Levi's grandson Avraham that we are cousins in three different ways.
And that's
better. And that's better. Yeah. Mishnah says, Hagiyotis Shinis Gairu Boner Imo, if a Giyotis, a woman was Megayer, and her children were Megayer with her, Loichotin Vele Miyavnin. They do not do Chalitza with each other's wives, with each other's wives, or Yibum. Well, they're Gairin, actually, but there's actually the two issues the Gemara is going to be dealing with over here. One is the idea that Gershon is a guy who cut and should know the dummy. They're considered like newborns, so therefore they have no relation to each other. Number two, there's also the idea, even when we say that they're considered related from their mother, as the Mishnah is going to talk about in a second, nevertheless, they're not considered related from their father. Which there's two different reasons we can say for that, one, which the Gemara is going to discuss. One of them is because goyim tend to be promiscuous, so you never know if they have the same father. Or the other reason is, even if we know for the fact that they both have the same father, as I was going to mention, a case of twins, for example, nevertheless, the Torah says that a ger is not considered, that a goy, for certain purposes, is not considered related to his father. We did have earlier in the Samachs, we had that for certain purposes, goy is considered to be misyachas after his father. We said, Beroidach Baladon, we had over there, that he's called after his father's name, Baladon, and a goy is able to yarshit his father. But other than that, we don't consider a goy to be related to his father. It's called Rashi describes it, the Gemara actually describes it, Kuri Afkar Rahman al-Zari. The Torah is Mahkir a goy's male descent. In other words, a goyish man, his children are sort of not considered his children, the halacha. So here they were Megayer, so we don't need all of that. We can just say Gershon is Gaia Kakan Shanevit dummy. But even if the first one was conceived while she was still a goita, the leidasa b'kedusha, but then by the time he was born, his mother had been this guy already. And the second one was conceived and born already b'kedusha after the gerus, where then they have the same mother. Nevertheless, we say that they're considered related through their mothers. But they're not considered related through their fathers, so therefore they can't do chalitza and yibum to each other's wives. And the same din applies to a shivcha whose sons were freed with her. Same idea, because after they're freed, they're considered like gershon isgayer. So Gemara tells the case: bnei Yudan amsa ishtachur, the children of Yudan, who was a slave woman, a shivcha. Yeah, that's it. By mamzer mary. Yeah, exactly. So the sons of Yudan, a slave woman, a shivcha, were freed. So Rabbi Achav Yaakov allowed them to marry each other's wives, meaning not as a matter of yibum, but for example, in other words, there were two children over there of Yudan. One of them died. He may have had children, he may have not, doesn't really matter. Rabbi Achav Yaakov said, you're allowed to marry your brother's widow. He's not considered your brother l'alacha. How could you do that? Rav Sheshes said it's also. Amalei. So Rav Achav Yaakov says, big deal. Who also va nasharina? Fine. Rav Sheshes holds it's also. I hold it's mutter. It's a machlokas. So what's the details of the machlokas? Mina avalei mina aim. If they only have the same father but not the same mother, kula amalei tzvigid shari. Then everybody agrees it's mutter, because then we say, as we said before, that Rahman afkure afkure lazare, that a goy's children are not considered his own, and therefore it's not considered they have any relationship at all. Mina aim avalei mina av kula amalei tzvigid asur. If they have the same mother but not the same father, then everybody agrees it's asur, because then that two people might think that you'd be allowed to do that by Yisrael, and you're never allowed to, of course. There would be an error. The machlokes would be, what if they have the same father and the same mother? So the one who says it's mutter says, okay, you look at the father. We're saying that they're not considered related because they have the same father. So therefore, once you have a father in there, that's good enough. People are going to realize that they're not related. That they're not related la halacha. And why? Because we say, yes, they have the same mother, but after all, what do people call them? People call them the sons of Pliny, meaning they call them based on their father's name. But people know that their father was a guy, and therefore people are not going to think, therefore, that brothers who have the same father, two born Jews who have the same father, are allowed to marry each other's wives when it's not a matter of Yibum. So therefore, it's no problem. But Rav Sheshes, where's Rav Sheshes? Argues back, Karolu Nami B'nei Plinus. People also call them after their mother's name. So you might have the same problem. Some people who only call them by their mother's name might think that that's the only way they're related, by their mother, and then they're not going to realize that there's a difference between a goy and a yid in that case. So that's the, that would be the machloekis. In the case of this Yudan Amsa, the issue would be that they had the same father, they had the same mother Yudan, and the same father, whoever Yudan's husband was, and that's the machloekis. The halacha is like Rav Sheshet that they're also, but wait. The Ikad Alma, a different version of the machloekis, is Polig Rav Acha by Yaakov, afilu ba'achin min ha'ein. No, Rav Acha by Yaakov holds it's even mutter if they only have the same mother. Well, my time, a Gershon is Geyer, because they're Gershon is Geyer, they're like newborn, so therefore, even if they have the same mother, big deal. We're not worried about them, that people are going to get confused. People know that Geyer are like newborns. I said, Tanan, let's consider what our Mishnah says. Hagiyotis, Shinis Geyer, Bonair Ima, that Hagiyotis, whose sons will miss Geyer with her, Loi Chelten, Vle Miyamin. We say they do not do Chalitza or Yibum. The Gemara's assumption at this point doesn't mean they don't have to, it means they're not allowed to. Now, why would they not be allowed to? My timer, lav mishum da siri, the pashtus, because they're also to each other. The answer is loy. The ain't a paternus chalitza v'yibum. It means that chalitza and yibum are not even shayach over here, because like you could say like Rabach Yaakov, that it's gerish and it's gayer, they're not considered related at all.
Siri in the sense that they would not be allowed to?
If we said afsiri, it would mean they're not allowed to do yibum. But we're saying that no, it just means they're not shayach to him. No chalitza or yibum is necessary. V'shari la'alma. So the wife of the dead brother is allowed to marry whoever she wants because there's no zika at all. The inunami sharu, and the brothers themselves, according to that, would be allowed to marry each other's ex-wives as well. Because again, we're saying that we don't consider them brothers. We say gerushin is gayer. Question is v'alkatani afilu. Yes, but the Mishnah then continues. What did the Mishnah start off by saying? It said first you had the case where a woman was this Geyer and her children were this Geyer with her, meaning both of them were born, both of the boys were born before she was this Geyer. They were both born Shalei B'Kedusha. And we're saying that when we're saying, according to your explanation now, that they're not Shayach to Chalit to Yibum, therefore they're allowed to. But then the Mishnah continues, Afilu Herdasa Shalei B'Kedusha, V'Ledasa B'Kedusha, V'Ashen Herdasa V'Ledasa B'Kedusha. Then we're continuing, even if one of them was conceived when she was a goita and born after she's this guy, and the second one was conceived and born after she's this guy, meaning that they have the same mother. So what's this afilu? Iyamet mishleim asiri. If you say that the first part of the Mishnah is saying they're also to do yibum to each other's wives, hayinukatani afilu. Then that's the point of the afilu. The afagav zirushin hayrosa shalai b'tusha v'leidasa b'tusha. Even though the first one was conceived when she was a goita and born afterwards, and born when she was a Jew, v'asheni hayrosa v'leidasa b'tusha, which you could argue chushtei ma'isdam, or then you could argue that maybe, even though it's physically one woman, you could argue gerushin is karkakot and shenel, that she's considered like a new person, so therefore you should think maybe these boys are considered like they have two different mothers. And yet, afilu hachi afiri, that's the afilu in the Mishnah. Even so, they're also. Eli yamat sharu, but if you say they're mutter to marry each other's wives, my afilu, then what's the afilu? Why is the case where they were born? Why is the case where one was conceived before the gerus and the other one after it? Why would that be afilu that there's a chiddush, even in that case they'd be mutter? The answer is, da'apagav derisha and harot, the answer is the afgav the tevayu ledosin b'kedusha. The point of the Mishnah would be, even though both of them were born b'kedusha, both of them were born after the mother was already miskayer, but also lechlufi b'yisrael. Therefore, there's more of a reason that people might confuse them with born Jews. Afilu achi shari. Even so, they're mutter. So that would be the chiddush according to that. So according to Rav Sheshes' understanding, the Mishnah would be saying in the first case they're also to marry each other's wives, and in the second case, even though you would think it's considered like two different women, all the more so, not all the more so, but nevertheless they're also. According to Rav Acha by Yaakov, it's the other way around. In the first case, they're allowed to, because there's no reason to think there's any relationship between them, Gershon and Skyer. Even in the second case, where people might think they're two born Jews from the same mother, but no, they're still allowed to. How many others say that the discussion goes the other way around, the proof goes the other way around? Hachi nami mistabra, that in fact Rav Acha by Yaakov's svara makes sense based on the word in the Mishnah, the sharu, that they should be allowed. The katani afilu, precisely because it says afilu. The argument goes the other way. Yam v'shleim sharu, because if you say the Mishnah is implying that in both cases they're mutter, hainan katani afilu. As we just said, the afagav the tavayu ledosim b'kedusha, even though both of them were born b'kedusha, the asi lechlufa b'Yisrael, and you might have thought both of them, they might be confused with born Jews, afil ha'achi sharu, nevertheless we're saying they're mutter. Eli, amat asiri, but if you say like Rav Sheshes, that in the first case they're also my afilu, then what's the afilu? Why would you think in the second case of the Mishnah they should be mutter, but the Mishnah has to tell you they're also? And again, the answer is, like the first Svara we said, even though the first one was conceived when the mother was still a Goita, and only born after she was Nisgaya, Rasheni Erosa, Veledasa Mekdusha, Bekishtei Maris Dami, where you would think it's considered like two mothers, Afilo Achi Asiri, nevertheless, they're Aser. So there are two different ways of understanding the Mishnah, basically. Tashma, come, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Shnei Achim Ta'oimim Gerim, if you have two brothers who are twins, who are Gerim, V'chein Meshukhrarim, or if they're Avadim Meshukhrarim, same thing, Loi Chotin V'loi Miyabmin, they do not do Chalitza or Yibum, because they're not considered to have the same father. The ein chayavim mishum eishes ach, and they're not chayav on each other's wife as eishes ach, because they're not considered brothers. Ha'isa ha'iras and shalei b'kdusha v'leidasa b'kdusha. What if these two twins were conceived when the mother was a goyter or a shifcha, and then they were born when she was a giyaris? Loi chotin v'lei miyabim. They still do not do chalitza or yibum. But at that point, if they have relations with each other's brothers, or marry each other's brothers, they will be chayav karis, because when their mother gave birth to them, she was already Israelis. And therefore, they're considered her children, at least. They may not be considered to have a father, la halacha, but they're considered to have a mother. Yeah. And if they were conceived and born after the mother was already Niskaya, then they're like Yisraelim for all purposes, meaning then we do count the father in as well. So, Katani Mias in Chayav Mishum Eishasach. Now, the first part had said that if they were born before the mother was Niskaya, we say they're not Chayav for Eishasach, which implies Chayuva Lekha HaYisoreka. That implies they're not Chayav Karis, maybe, but it's still also the Drabanan at least. So, Rabbi Acha by Yaakov is saying they're Mutter. The Braisa seems to be implying that they're also at least midrabanan. The answer is no. Who are didn't feel Surinami Lekka? No, you could say that the Braisa means that there's not even an Isser. But I need to borrow the Mishnah say for Abba Chayavim. Since in the second and third part, since in the second part of the Braisa, we do have to say that they're Chayav Mishum Eishasach, because they are considered to have the same mother. So the first part said Ein Chayavim. But yes, according to Rabbi Acha by Yaakov, it would mean more than Ein Chayavim. It would mean they're actually Mutter. Amar Rava, Hod Amar Rabbanan Ein Av LaMitzri. Based on that, the Rabbanan are saying that a Mitzri, or a Goy in general, is not considered to have a father. And even in the case when Leidosa B'Kdusha, even maybe in the case when Gerushin is Gaya Kakot and Shemel Adami, fine, he's not considered to have parents at all. But even in the case that we were just discussing, Harosa Shalai B'Kdusha V'Leidosa B'Kdusha, that he was conceived when his mother was a Goyta and born when she's already a Jew. So there it's not a matter of Gerushin is Gaya, he's not a Ger. So why, so this, that the Rabbanan say that he's not considered to have a father. Don't think that because Goyim are promiscuous, and therefore you don't know who the father is, so therefore you might argue the reason why you don't count the father is because you have no way of knowing that the two boys have the same father. But you would think that if there was a case where you knew for sure they have the same father, maybe we would be choshish. Let's say Rashi gives an example. What if the father and mother, when they were Goyim, were in jail? Nobody else able to get in and out. So obviously, if she became pregnant, it must have been from her husband. You would think, maybe Rava is saying that you would say in that case we do consider the father's contribution. We do consider the children to be the father's. No. Elaf Elafilu. And even if we know for a fact, like in that case, we still ignore that. Why? The Hashtei Achen Ta'imin, because we just had the case of two brothers who are twins. The tipa achas hoisa hoya v'nechlak alashtayim. How do you have twins? There are actually two kinds of twins. But we're talking there's identical twins and fraternal twins. But the Braisa hadn't specified, so it can mean identical twins as well. And what happens with identical twin? You have one drop of semen which divides into two. So obviously they come from the same father. And yet the seifa had said that they don't do chalitza or yibum. If we consider that they have the same father, they should be able to do yibum, or they should have to do chalitza because of the father. Thus we see that it's not a matter of them being mezaneh, and that we don't know who the father is. It's a matter of it's exerted a custom that the children of a male guy are not considered as children. The Torah is mafkeh them. As the Torah describes, that their flesh, meaning their aver, is the flesh of donkeys, and their outpours, the outpouring of horses. So in other words, the same way as in animals, we don't look at who the father was. We focus on the mother, la halacha, for example, for the din of Oisav Esminai. Same thing when it comes to this.
This is not telling you We don't know who the father is.
Not that we don't know who the father is, but that we ignore who the father is for purposes of halacha.
And this pasuk is telling us their relationship with the goy. It's like with an animal.
Yeah.
Like an animal.
Yeah. That the relationship. Right, exactly.
Yeah. No wonder they were sent.
Tashma, come, let's bring a proof. We're still trying to prove between Rabbi Achaba Yaakov and Rabbi Sheshes over here whether about this argument over here whether they're allowed to marry each other's wives. Tashma, Ad Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa ben Niftiim Ager Shenasa Eishes Achav Meimoi, happened with Niftiim, that was his name, Nifty guy, I guess. Shenasa Eishes Achav Meimoi, he married the wife of a brother who he had only from his mother's side. So in other words, he and his brother apparently had been this guyer together, and later on his brother died, and he married his wife. And the matter was brought to the Chachamim. They said a ger is not considered to have issues. That's what do you mean? He doesn't have issues. He doesn't have the capability of getting married. So what? If a ger is makadosh, a woman, and then kedushin aren't tofas? Of course not. No, what we mean is there's no issur of an ishus ach as far as a brother. Now, my love, the Nasa Ach Kruger, Lachora, we're talking about a case that Niftiim and his brother both became Gerim. His brother married this woman. Then his brother died, and we're saying Niftiim is allowed to marry her, which would mean, therefore, that we're like about Habayakov, that because Gershon is Gary Kakatan Shinola dummy, therefore it doesn't matter that they have the same father or the same mother, they're Mutter. According to Rav Sheshes, it should be also. The answer is why the Nasvak Shruai with Kachavim. No, you could be talking about a case where Niftiim's brother married her when he was still a guy. The question is Shruai with Kachavim, I remember. Well, then what's the Chiddush? Obviously, then. Obviously, then they're, it's not considered related. The answer is Mawr Tema, Ligzuk Shruai with Kachavim. And Rashi adds an important detail. Niftiim's brother and his wife did eventually become Gerim. But after Niftiim's brother became a ger, he did not have relations with his wife before he died. If he had had relations with her, then that would be the equivalent of kedushin, and then they'd be considered fully married. But like this, if we're saying that he married her when he's a guy, and therefore that marriage never took effect by halacha after their gerus, well then fine, of course, then even if one's an Rav Sheshes, he's allowed to marry her. So she's not considered his brother's wife. So the question is, well then what's the chiddush? Okay, maybe you should make a data that you might confuse the case where he married her when he was a guy with the case where he married her when he was a yid or had relations with her when he was a yid, whatever. Tamash Malan, that's the chiddush that the Braise is saying that not. But you still can't prove that if Taka he married her after he became a ger, Niftiim should be allowed to marry her, maybe not. Tashma, Da'ama ben Yastion, Kshalachti l'krake hayam, when I went to the cities near the sea, Matsasi ger echad, Shanasa eshes achim meimai, I found a ger who had married the former wife of his brother from his mother's side. Amarti l'bni mihir shecha, so I asked him, my son, who gave you rishos to do such a thing? Amali, hare isha b'shiva b'nea, here you have in town over here, there's a geyodas and her seven sons. They were all, this woman and her children were all nisgayer, together or one after the other, whatever, and Rabbi Akiva, and al safsal zeh yashav Rabbi Akiva, v'om ha-shnei dvarim, and Rabbi Akiva sat on this bench over here and he said two things. Number one, ger noza isha sachav meimai, that a ger is allowed to marry the brother of his wife, the wife of his brother from his mother's side. So in this case, this woman and her seven sons, Rabbi Akiva gave them permission to marry each other's ex-wives, so therefore I'm allowed to do the same thing.
They don't have to. What?
No, we're talking about all of them had converted. All of them had converted. Right now the Gemara is assuming, just like it did in the previous case, that what happened is the woman and all her children converted. Then the children got married. Now one of them died, and Rabbi Akiva is allowing one of the other brothers to marry the widow, which, according to Rabbi Achaba Yaakov, works. According to Rabbi Sheshes, it shouldn't work. That's what the Gemara is going to get to in a minute. But first, he mentions that Rabbi Akiva said two things. Ger knows the Eishes Achavim. Number one, that a ger is allowed to marry the wife of his brother from his mother's side. But Omar, and also Rabbi Akiva said, sitting on this bench, when the pasuk says Vayhi Dvar Hashem Al Yonah Sheinis Lamer in Yonah, in Sefer Yonah, when it says that the Eishes spoke to Yonah again a second time, and after he got spit out by the fish, and tells him to go to Nineveh. What's the Sheinis? Sheinis Dibra Ima Shechina, Shlishis Loi Dibra Ima Shechina. It means the Shechina, or that the Eibishter only talked to him that second time, but not a third time. the Rebbe Akiva was explaining that basically that Yonah lost his power of Nevuah after that. Lost his power of Nevuah, but whatever. He was punished in a way for the fact that he tried to run away from the Eibishter. By that, after that, the Eibishter never gave him another Nevuah. And the Farshim point out, I mean, you have at the end of the story of Jonah over there, you have the whole thing with the Kikayan, but that's a continuation of the previous Nevuah. It's not really a whole new thing.
What's the
connection, actually? So the Aruch HaNer brings an interesting idea. He said, we're discussing over here this idea that why are we saying that these children who are Gerim should be allowed to marry each other because Gerishin is Gagakot and Shemela Dummy. When it comes to Nineveh, the Gemara is going to discuss in a little bit. On the face of it, I mean, did Yonah's Nevuah come true? He said that Nineveh was going to be overturned, and it wasn't. And the answer is it was overturned in Tshuva. It was overturned in that they turned themselves completely over in Tshuva. So what do we see from that? We see from that the idea that they're considered like they were overturned, like they started a whole new thing, and therefore so that's the connection. The Iyun Yaakov on Ein Yaakov puts it a little differently. He also says there's a connection with Beirim, but he says a little bit differently. He says interesting like this. When you get down to it, the Medrash says, why did Jonah run away? I mean, what did he think? He should run away from the Eibishter? So the Medrash says because he wanted to be Malamed Tzchus on the Jewish people. He was concerned. He's going to go to Nineveh, tell them to do Tshuva. They're going to do Tshuva, as in fact they did. And then the Jews are going to look bad. Look how many Nevi'im have been coming and screaming at the Jewish people to do Tshuva and nothing. And all of a sudden he comes to Nineveh.
And they got him to Tshuva.
And they got him to Tshuva. So therefore Yonah figured to run away rather than get involved with that. So then in that case, the question is, why is the Eibishter upset with him? Usually the Eibishter is happy when people try to defend the Jewish people. The answer and the answer is that Yom Yaakov develops the idea that in this case with Nineveh, yes, they did Tshuva, but it was only a very temporary thing. In fact, later on, another one of the Tereels and Nahum had to say another Nevuah against them, that they were going to be destroyed because they went back to their old ways.
Yeah.
So therefore, so the vote is, in other words, Yonah shouldn't have been so worried that they're going to look good and the Jewish people are going to look bad. He should have realized that being Goyim, they only do Tshuva Meira at best, whereas Jews, when they do Tshuva Me'ava. And if we connect it with this idea of Gerim, that earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara had said that why is it that many times we see that Gerim suffer in Elam Hazah because they only did Meira, they didn't do Me'ava. So that's the connection between these two things over here, that why did the Eibishter stop speaking to Yonah after that? Because he was upset with him. He said, you should have realized, you should go to Nineveh, either going to do Tshuva, don't worry, it's only going to be a superficial Tshuva, it's not going to make the Jews look
bad. But the Eibishter made him lose his Nevuah, so how would he be upset with it, because he lost his Nevuah?
That's the thing. The Eibishter is upset with him, and therefore made him lose his Nevuah.
What
about Chai Mitzvah? That's exactly Chai Mitzvah, yeah.
But if he had his Nevuah, he should have anticipated that they wouldn't do Tshuva. I mean, they would come back on their Tshuva.
No, that's what we're saying, that the Eibishter stopped speaking to him after that. Whatever, the point is that also, for example, later on, why did the Eibishter not send Yonah again? Why he sent Nahum? Because Yonah had lost it. Yeah. Anyway, Katani, so the Gemara is going to get back into soon about this business with Yonah. We'll continue in a little bit. But first, to finish off this thing about the Gerim, Katani, yes, Ger noitza eshes sachav me'imo. So we're saying that a Ger is allowed to marry his brother's wife, where it's his brother on his mother's side. Again, ma'ilav denos v'achim true Ger. Doesn't that mean that his brother married her when he's a Ger? And then again, we proved Rav Acha by Yaakov, and we proved against Rav Sheshes. The answer is loy denos v'achim true Ger. Same answer as before. We could say that that Rav Akiva's heter was that you're allowed to marry her if the brother had married her when he was still a guy. And again, the question is, Ma'ilam Emra, what's the Chiddush? And again, the same answer, Ma'ilam Tehman Nigzer Kruav Kachab Matru Kruger, Kamash Malon. Same idea as the previous price. Now, the question is, we're saying that, what do we say over here? Ben Yassin is saying, I found this girl who had married Eishas Achav Me'im, right? And I asked him, where do you get that from? And he tells me, Rabbi Kivin Heter. Umime Heman, how can we believe him? How can we believe him that what he's saying is correct? Well, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Kol Tamid Chacham Shemoyra Halacha Uva. When a Tamid Chacham is giving a Psak Halacha, Im Koda Maisa Amar Shemin. If he says it before an actual Maisa comes up, then you can listen to him, because then you know he's saying the truth, and then you know that he's not biased. The Im Lav Ain Shemin. But if not, you don't listen to him. So in this case, when Ben Yassian is asking this Ger, who gave you permission, How do we believe him when he says Rabbi Akiva sat on this bench and said this halacha? How can we accept that what he's saying is valid? Maybe some of the Farshim say maybe he's outright lying. Others say maybe not lying, but at least maybe he's misunderstanding or whatever because he's biased.
Yeah.
No, but okay, but he's married to this woman.
Yeah.
The answer is, first of all, one answer could be that this ger was always saying over this vort from Rabbi Akiva. So now when Ben Yassian came and asked him, he said it, but this isn't the first time he said it. He's been saying it all along, even before anybody asked him. Number two, you could say because he's saying it's not just me, you have this case of Isha Vashiva Banair here in town, so in other words, it can be easily checked out, it's not just me. Or third possibility, that here where he said Rav Akiva said two things together, once we accept that he's correct about the second thing that he said about Yonah, then we can also accept that he's correct in his report about what Rav Akiva said about the ger. Omamar, by he dvar Hashem o Yonah sheni slimer. So we said that it says that Eivishter spoke to Yonah a second time, and we said shniya dibra ima shchina shlishis la dibra ima. Question is, what do you mean? We find another nivuah of Yonah. Vaksiv, who hate they're talking about Yerovam the second, one of the later kings of Israel, about 100 years before Malchus Yisrael was destroyed. The pasuk says, "Anem who heishivas gvul Yisrael." He restored the borders of the Jewish people, milavoy chamos ad yom ha'arava, from lavoy chamos, which is in the north of Eretz Yisrael, until the yom ha'arava, which is in the south. Tidvar Hashem ashedibre biyad abda Yoina ben Amita Navi, according to the word of Hashem who had spoken through his servant Yoina ben Amita. So you see, Yoina had three divorces. One to Yerovam, two the first time where the Abishah tells him go to Nineveh, and three after he got spit out by the fish where the Abishah speaks to him again. So what do you mean only Shenis Dibre Mishkina? They only had two divorces. So Ravina says, you're right. When it says the Abishah only spoke to him twice, it means specifically about Nineveh. Again, even though later on the people of Nineveh went back to their old ways and the Eivishter had to send a Navi to warn them, instead of sending Yonah again, the Eivishter sent Nochum this time.
So for Nineveh,
he only spoke to him twice, but he could have spoken to him other times for other things as well. Rav Nachman Yitzchakama, Hachikama. No, the pasuk doesn't mean that Hashem actually spoke to Yonah and told him that Yerovam is going to be able to restore the borders of Eretz Yisrael. It means that we learn it out. Kidvar Hashem, we learn it out from the story of Yonah. Kidvar Hashem Asher Dibre Biyad Avdei HaNavi. That what happened in Yerovam's time was like what happened, what the Eivishter told Yonah. Kishem Shenepach LeNinveh Merov LaTovah, just as the Eivishter had planned bad for Nineveh, but then they did Tshuva and so it was turned over to good. Kach Bimei Yerovam and Yoyash Nepach Lam Yisrael Merov LaTovah. So also in the times of Yerovam, the Eivishter changed over from bad to good. So not saying that Yonah had said in Nevuah this is going to happen. From the story of Nineveh, we can derive this idea that the Eivishter Taviyachol can change his mind and have Rachmanis on people, and that's what he did in the times of Yerovam. So you can still say that he only had the two Nevuahs that it says in Sefer Yonah. This is not Yerovam and Nevot. This is Yerovam and Ben Yoyash, one of the later kings. He wasn't. The pasuk says, "I mean, Vayasa Rabbe Ein Hashem," like most of the kings of Israel, right. But. One good thing the Gemara says about him in Pesachim, he did not listen to Lashon Hara. The pasuk in Sefer Amos says that Amos had said in Nevuah that the Eivishter is going to destroy the family of Yerovam with a sword because of the Avodah Zarah and there were other things. So Amatsya was the Kohen in Basel by one of the Egle Azav that the earlier Yerovam had set up. This Amatsya went and Malshin and Masir on Amos to the king. That Amos is saying you're going to be killed, but you're going to be assassinated. But Yerovam says, you know what? First of all, I don't believe that such a tzaddik would say such a thing, because Eivishter promised my great grandfather Yehu that there's going to be four generations of the family who are going to be kings over the Jewish people. I'm only the third generation. In fact, his son Zechariah was killed. Zaka. But anyway, second of all, he says, okay, you know what? Maybe if he said it, you know what? He's not saying his own thing. He's not making up his own things. He's a navi. He's saying what the Eivishter told him. So he didn't accept Lashon Hara. And because of that, the Gemara says over there, therefore, at the beginning of, I think it's Sefer Hoshea, when the pasuk lists the names of the kings that Hoshea said Nevuah in their time, it lists four kings of Yehuda, and together with them it lists this Yerovam. He had the schus to be listed with the four kings of Yehuda because of this, because he didn't accept Lashon Hara against Amos.
But he restored the borders, meaning
he was... Restored means that he fought against the Goyim around Eretz Yisrael, who had been nibbling away at parts of Eretz Yisrael and then annexing them to their kingdom, and he fought against them and got all that territory back for the Jewish people. One more thing to finish off, and I guess we'll leave tonight and continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is that actually with Yonah, there's a medrash that says that actually he had one more nevuah. He had been given a nevuah, not on Nineveh. Actually, so he had been previously, he had gotten a nevuah that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed because of the Averis of the people. but they ended up doing tshuva, and it didn't happen. So because of that, when the Ibishter now sends him to Nineveh, Yonah is very wary about it. What's going to happen? The same thing is going to happen again. Everybody's been calling all this time. Everybody's been laughing and saying, I'm a false nubby because you said it everywhere, and it didn't come true. People didn't realize that the Ibishter, Taka, can change his mind and be Nachmanistic. Now when you're sending me to Nineveh, the same thing is going to happen all over again, and that's another reason why he ran away.
Okay, but so then it's... Nineveh is left for him, but that's the Yitzhak. So then, how do we recognize the real Navi for a false Navi?
So the Rambam says, actually based on Psukim in Yirmiyah, that when a Navi, you can't prove based on a Navi's Nevuah for bad, because a Nevuah for bad is not necessarily going to come true. You can only test a Navi based on a Nevuah for good. A Navi has to say something good is going to happen, and it has to come true in every last detail. If even one detail doesn't come true, it means he's a false Navi. But this is the famous story with Yirmiyah, who has an argument with Hananya ben Azur. So this Hanani ben Azur actually originally was, the Gemara says, in the Pasuk tells the story in Yirmiyah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin fills in many of the details. This Hanani was originally a genuine Navi. What happened was, the Gemara explains over there something like this. When the Ibishter gives the Nevuah to a Navi, other Nevi'im hear it as well. Actually, one of the people during the Tanakh contest gave me an interesting analogy. He said that he uses when he teaches about this. He says it's like there's a Navi radio station. The Ibishter gives out a Nevuah on the station, and anybody who's tuned into it can hear it. So the Ibishter had given Yirmiyahu a Nevuah that the nation of Elam is going to be destroyed. Hinini Shover as Keshes Elam. Elam had been one of the nations that had helped Nebuchadnezzar conquer Eretz Yisrael. So Hananya ben Azur took that and made a kav chomer from it. He thought to himself, you know, if the Ibishter is planning to punish Elam for helping out in conquering Eretz Yisrael, how much more so the Ibishter is going to punish Babel? Which the Gemara points out it was a valid kav chomer, but it's not Hananya ben Azur's to do. Each broadcast over the Navi radio station is introduced. This is addressed to so and so. This nevuah was addressed to Yirmiyah. Only he is entitled to learn out things based on it, not Hananya ben Azur. Anyway, but Hananya ended up making his kavah chomer, so therefore he started announcing the nevuah that the Ibishter says that in 2 years I'm going to break the power of Babel, and all the kalim they took from the Beis Mikdash are going to be returned, etc. So Yirmiyahu gets up, and he says to Hananya, you know what, halavai, what you said would come true, but you should know something. You're saying a nevuah, all this time I've been saying nevuahs for bad, that the Jewish people are going to be punished. If those don't come true, it doesn't prove that I'm a false Navi, because either the Yidden can do tshuva, or the Ibishter can have Rachmanis. You're saying a Nevuah for good. If that doesn't happen, everybody's going to know you're a false Navi, you're going to be in trouble. And in fact, he says to Hananya, in fact, as a punishment, because you said a false Nevuah, you're going to end up dying this year, the Kachava, at the end of the year. So it's in Sefer Yirmiyah and Sefer Chochmah, and the details about it are in the Gemara.
Did it actually happen that the
bubble was... No, so that was because of the false Nevuah. In the end, later on, Elam was destroyed and also Babel, but that was much later. Yirmiyahu himself said Nevuah said that Babel was going to be destroyed, but not in 2 years. That 2 years was Hananiah's invention.